Jamie and Locker with you on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody had a great weekend. So we get ready to watch some basketball tonight, soccer later this week, and another day off. 2 days between games. They kind of needed it after the...
How long is the game, NBA? 3 hours?
Sure.
So you need 2 hours to get in.
Yeah.
You need 3 hours to watch the game. That's 5 hours.
Yeah.
Should be, actually, if you're in New York, you should be leaving now. And it's probably going to take you 2 hours to get out of the game because they're going to shut down all the roads so Trump can get blasted out of there quickly.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a...
Come on, get there.
Seven hours to watch a basketball game, 4 to get in and out, 3 for the actual event. Let's hear it for politicians, everyone.
Locker had the same rant when Carney flipped the coin at the Grey Cup, too. He was
They shut down half the building.
Yeah, the southern entrances had to be shut down, and then everybody had to didn't know how to get into the stadium for a good 20, 30 minutes until they figured out, oh, we can't enter here. I enter here. I'm a season ticket. I go through here all the time. Nah, the prime minister's flipping the coin today. You got to go over to the other gate.
He was literally in the building for 4.5 minutes.
And yeah, I don't think he stayed to watch the game.
I couldn't get a beer.
Oh, that's what it was. It was the lineup for the beer that got Locker angry.
Now here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
A problem Drew Remenda never has to deal with. The lineup, lineup for a beer.
Yeah, you got that right. When President Trump was first elected in his first go-around, I was with the Oilers, and we were in Washington, D.C. at the Ritz-Carlton, and they had every businessman in America in the Ritz-Carlton doing some sort of meeting, okay, conference.
Trump University?
President Trump was coming to that evening. So Gene and Kevin and I go out for dinner. We come back, and we can't get into the hotel because he's leaving. When he leaves, guys, it doesn't take long. It is also they got crowds on the up line of the streets. They've got police and Secret Service and congressional police officers there. And the Ritz-Carlton to the White House is, I could throw a rock and hit it. Well, maybe not me, but so when they come out, they fly out of there. They came out of the parkade, and they are just rolling. So it doesn't take them long to leave. When he's leaving, he's leaving. It's actually quite something to see.
Did you send me a video of that? I think you might have sent me a video.
Long time ago. Yep. Yeah. It's pretty awesome, actually.
So, Drew.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock in Edmonton, potentially.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Heard you guys talking about that. Well, I think when you talked about, first thing that you were 100% right on was the fact of when you're talking about a detailed guy. And I think I told you this, Jamie, that when I was going back to the Sharks and when Mike was coaching here at the University of Saskatchewan, when he came back before he went to Columbus, I've known Mike since we were teenagers. So I called him and said, hey, are you watching video? Are you doing anything like that? And he went, as a matter of fact, we are. We're at the rink. You want to come down? We're going to watch it this time. So I started going in every day to watch video with him. Now, I'd worked with Mike before at Hockey Canada, and I had watched video and, of course, you know, done video work for the San Jose Sharks, for Daryl Sutter when he was coaching. I watched it with Ron Wilson when he came in, when Todd McClellan came in. I watched video with all these coaches, and I sat with some of the best coaches in the world. Third day I came home, I walked home from the university after watching with Mike and Michael. And I said, and my son Donovan said, how is that? And I said, Donald, I've been lying to people for 30 years and I know anything about the game of hockey. And Donovan started to laugh. He said, levels to this thing? I said, levels to this thing. I've never seen a guy as detailed as you said and smart about breaking down a hockey game like him. It's incredible. On the other thing you guys are right on is that, yes, he is demanding. And yes, he is not the most popular coach that anybody's ever played for. But remember when we had Pete DeBoer on, and I asked Pete DeBoer a question back in the Green Zone days when I said to him, how come guys keep having career years with you? And he started to laugh and said, well, there's a lot of guys out there who've lost my number as well. There are guys who aren't going to like you. And Mike is demanding, and Mike has made mistakes, without a doubt. And Mike does have a solid ego. You better have a solid ego.
You can't do that job without an ego.
Exactly.
You can't
do anything well without an ego. Ego gets a bad rap. But you're right. And Mike talked about it on the show with us when he came back to that Columbus job and talked about his kids talking to him and saying, and tell me, guys, you haven't heard this before in your life. It's not what you're saying. It's how you're saying it. And I've had that.
I think I have that T-shirt. My wife bought that.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So Mike talked about that. And the phone thing, and Jamie, I know we talked about this, and I've told you this before. Mike and I exchange pictures all the time. He wants to look and see what your family's doing. He wants to get to know what all about your family. Now, you're right, Locker, when you were talking about the fact of, but from a coach-player perspective, it does have a little bit of a difference. It does have a different feel to it because he is the coach of the team. So it could have been, it was awkward for some people, and it wasn't handled very, very well. But I can tell you from knowing Mike that there wasn't anything malicious there. He just wants to get to know the players.
Yeah. So
I was just going to say, the Edmonton Oilers could do a hell of a lot worse than hire Mike Babcock.
Yeah, I am not against this. I am not against. So here's my question for you, right? Do you, because I have known people that have had egos that sort of eliminate a self-awareness sort of bone, right?
And
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that I met in the past that get to a certain position in life and they just think they have all the answers. And regardless of the mistakes they make or whatever chaos they leave behind them, whatever buildings they burn up once they leave or bridges, they just don't care. They just continue to plod on. I'm curious, is Mike Babcock that guy? Because if he is, then regardless of what age you are, because I, like, Jamie and I were discussing this earlier. I was a program director at 30, and I was a nightmare. Like, there's no reason why anybody should have let me be in charge of human beings. Like, it was not a good idea. And I realized that shortly after I got let go, right? But I'm just, now I think I could probably do it with less chaos.
Yes.
So I'm curious if Mike is that guy.
Well, I think he is, Locker, and for the reason, and listen, I will put it out there 100% that I am very biased when it comes to Mike Babcock. I like Mike a lot. I've known Mike for a lot of years. We've had a good relationship over all these years. I have a ton of respect for the man, and he's a friend. But when I look at Mike Babcock, when he took over that Columbus job, we had him on the program, and we talked to him about the issues that had come up before. And he did do a lot of introspection. He talked to his kids, and his kids are all very bright. In fact, Michael just got the head coach job in the OHL with...
I said it earlier. Why did I slip off my...
Burlington?
Michael,
we just said it out loud.
I said it out loud like
What's
an
wrong
hour
with
ago.
This?
Yeah, Michael. Was
I haven't even had a drink yet.
In the AHL last year as assistant coach, he's another brilliant young man. But he also tells his father like this. He tells his dad what he thinks, and so do his daughters. One of his daughters is involved in mental health as well. And so
that's interesting.
Very, very smart group of people. Mike's dad was an engineer. Mike was going to be an engineer. He's very smart, and he is introspective. But he's also a guy that has a bit of a fact of, this has worked before. I've got 700 wins. Now, he's never said this to me, but he's got 700 wins in the National Hockey League. He's got 2 gold medals. He's got a Four Nations Cup or a World Cup of Hockey. He has got a CIS championship. He's got a world championship. The guy knows how to coach. Period. End of discussion. Are you going to put him on your Christmas card list if you're one of his players who's not doing what he thinks you're doing, you should be doing? Probably not. But you know what, Locker, you were saying it, that maybe they need a little bit more of a kick in the pants type of a guy, but he's not that guy. He's not like, it's not like he goes into locker rooms ranting and raving. He's just very, very demanding, and some of his ways in the past have rubbed players the wrong way. And you're right, Jamie, 1,499 games for Mike Modano. There's no real excuse for that. Sometimes that, and I think Mike's smart enough to know those power plays that he was doing before aren't going to work now, especially if you've got McDavid and Draisaitl on your team.
Drew Remen is our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone. That Mike Babcock story just broke today. We have about 2 minutes to talk about a wild game three. let's just focus on the goalie. Should it be Freddie Anderson, or should they put the kid Bussy in there?
I'd put Bussy back in.
Yes.
I don't think Freddie's looked great in this. Like, if you look at this, he let in 5 goals in the first game. Now his team was very good, and he's let in now. He let in, what was it, 4 goals in game 3. I don't think he's
looked Vegas solid. Has his number.
Well, you might be, because there's those goalies out there where the other team doesn't mind playing against you. You know, there's teams you don't mind playing against. There's certain teams that guys just light them up. But that game was really interesting. John Tortorella said that his team needs to do a better job of momentum, of handling the momentum, basically managing the game. I was like you, Jamie. They score the goal, and you go, oh, good. Well, at least they scored the goal. Good for them. And then, wait a second. And then again, and 4 goals, there were 3 goals in 39 seconds. You go, holy my goodness. The games, you know, the 2 disputed goals came back, the one that didn't come back. It was such a weird game, because in the first period, I zoned out. There was 13 minutes plus where Carolina had 2 shots, and there was 15 minutes plus where Vegas had no shots in the first period. And you're thinking, oh, okay, here we go. And then all of a sudden, Mitch Marner does what Mitch Marner does, and things go a little bit crazy. And as you guys said, those games kind of always end on a goofy goal. And certainly that was about as goofy as it came. That shot was so wide, it wasn't even close. And I originally thought Martinuk put it in, but it just bounced off the inboards.
Off the inboards, off the pad, and in the back of the net. Just fire the puck. Just fire the puck. Right. Just get it to
the
net.
Down. Get it low. Get it deep. It's never a bad play to get the puck deep.
One thing that I did notice with the goaltending, just Freddie versus Bussy, I think he's tracking the puck better.
He's seeing the
puck.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the one thing. When you watch goalies play, the one thing is I was always taught from the late, great Wayne Thomas, who was a goalie coach and assistant coach and assistant GM with the Sharks, was when they're playing well, watch their heads. Watch their movement, their head movement. That tells you they're tracking.
We don't have enough time to really dig in, but we have 5 seconds for a yes or no from Drew Remen. Does it really matter that he's the opposite hand catcher?
No.
No? Okay. I wonder if it throws off a team mid-game that all of a sudden the catcher's on the opposite hand.
What about a quick yes or no on Joe? Do we get time for a quick yes?
Joe?
Yes.
Joe
Pavelski. Yes.
Oh, Joe Pavelski for the Leafs.
Brilliant, brilliant. I'm telling you guys, we'll talk about it on Wednesday, but I'm telling you, that is a guy you want to hire.
That is Drew Remen. He's our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone. More coming up on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. The Riders get practicing tomorrow is when they start their prep for game 1 of the season against the BC Lions on Saturday, when they have the banner unveiling from the 2025 Grey Cup Championship team. Lots of NHL news today. Dylan Larkin giving 3 teams, apparently. That report from Helene St. James of the Detroit Free Press, who will be joining us in a couple of minutes to talk about Dylan Larkin's future with the Detroit Red Wings. Also, Darren Dreger reporting that Daryl Cates, the owner of the Edmonton Oilers, has definitely had a conversation, or more, with Mike Babcock to be the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. And it's game 3 tonight of the NBA Finals. The Spurs trying to get back in this series. The Knicks trying to advance 1 win away from their first championship since 73. But again, Dylan Larkin wants out of Detroit. what is the relationship with he and Stevie Eiserman? And will Eiserman just tell him to sit and be quiet? Because you got 5 more years on your deal, son. So, too bad, so sad. We dig in next with Helene St. James of the Detroit Free Press on 980 CJME and 650 CKOA. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Still coming up on the show, Belton Johnson. Of course, it is a Monday. He'll preview the Riders' first game against the BC Lions, recap the weekend in the Canadian Football League. Also, Milt Stegall will be in to look at the first weekend in the CFL and what Milt thinks is ahead for the 2026 CFL season. Milt Stegall up at 4:05. We'll also debate to the commissioner's comment from Winnipeg Sports Talk Show. Yeah, Stuart Johnston praising the Bombers.
The Blue Bombers are the model franchise of the CFL. And it's really, I think, impossible to argue with that.
Impossible to argue with it. Is it true? Should all of us in Saskatchewan just accept it? The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are now the flagship franchise in the Canadian Football League.
I don't know.
I don't think it's impossible to debate it, but it is possible that, yes, the Bombers could be the flagship franchise in the Canadian Football League. But right now, we're going to turn our attention to Detroit. A little bit of a surprise. Dylan Larkin, the captain, has 5 years left on an 8-year deal. He's a Michigan guy, and he wants to be traded. Helene St. James from the Detroit Free Press has the Red Wings covered. And she was the one with the report, and it didn't take Locker and I long to guess the three teams on that list, Minnesota, Vegas, and Florida. But when it's those three teams, how much does that limit the potential of a trade, or, you know, whether or not Steve Eiserman can make a deal or even wants to make a deal?
Oh, incredibly hard. I mean, to have, you know, three landing spots. And, you know, I think exactly if we all got together when the news broke and said, where might he want to go? Those would be even Florida missing last year because of Barkov. I mean, they're going to be an instant contender again next season. You know, three choices, that's not much for Steve to work with. I mean, you know, there's a possibility he may have to go back to Larkin and say, you have to give me more choices or you're not getting traded. And there is, you know, GMs are not obligated to move players who want out. So there may come a situation where Dylan has to decide, do I show up at Wings camp in September and deal with all the attention but get paid? Or, you know, do I stay home and not get paid and wait for things to happen? It's very unfortunate what this has come to. You know, Larkin has, I mean, it meant so much. I was there when he was drafted in 2014. It meant so much to him, his hometown team, you know, and then he becomes a captain. And so it's unfortunate that this is what it's come to.
So let's dig into that relationship with the fans. Who are the fans, or is it split right down the middle? Who are they siding with? Do you get a sense that they're siding with Steve or Dylan?
Well, just in general, it's been fascinating to watch the last couple of years how fans in Detroit have turned on Steve Eiserman, which you would never think would happen. But, you know, they've grown frustrated with year after year of missing the playoffs. And early on, everybody understood he inherited a terrible team in 2019. You know, but then he brings in Moritz Seider, he brings in Lucas Raymond. The Wings steadily start to get better, and it looks like there's hope. And especially this year, I mean, they were in first place in their division in late January, and looked like, I did the math, all they had to do was play 500 hockey the rest of the way, and they would have had 97 points, you know, and that gets you in.
That gets you in.
And instead, you know, it's, you know, and I think you can understand it from Dylan's point of view. I mean, I was in Milano for the Olympics. I've never seen him look happier after that gold medal game. He comes back, and March happens, and the Wings manage to work their way out of the playoffs yet again. And You know, he turns 30 next month. He has players have a limited window to win, and he just tasted one of the greatest victories in the world. So I think you can kind of, I mean, you can definitely see his frustration as well.
Ellie St. James covers the Detroit Red Wings for the Free Press. And, of course, you covered Steve as a player. Now as a general manager, you would kind of know his headspace. Is there any chance Steve goes, no, we're not doing this. You're under contract for 5 more years. Let's try to figure this out as you, as a member of the Detroit Red Wings. Or do you think over the summer he'll feel obligated to comply with a star player like Dylan Larkin?
I don't think he'll feel obligated to anything but what's best for the Red Wings. And if he can't get a deal, and you know, the thing is, they can't accept first round picks and prospects in return, because that would just set them back years yet again. And so then essentially the message you're sending to Sider and Raymond is you're stuck here and you may not win for another 10 years. So you have to get kind of equivalent players back, you know, and they need to get a center back. They already needed to improve at the second line center spot. And now with the situation with Larkin, they need a top line center and they need a scoring winger. So, you know, it's not like that solves with a trip to Costco. You know, Steve may say no. You know, he's, I would put money on him not caving, you know, at all to anything.
Elaine, I'm curious. We do get little snippets of the possibility of a, you know, maybe a difficult relationship between Dylan and Larkin and Yzerman. I'm curious if you have any insight into that. Is there truth to the rumors that the two of them have been at odds, not just over this, but in the past over comments?
Well, it really goes back to the trade deadline in 2025. The Wings were in Washington and just did terrible. And I think that was, they had added Peter Mrazek earlier in the day and Craig Smith, you know, fourth line forward. And Dylan said afterwards, and then he repeated it again after the season, like, we didn't really do much, and the guys were disappointed in that, the trade deadline. And, you know, I know that chafed with Steve, and when he was asked about it, you know, he said he had had a conversation with Steve. Now, the other flip coin of it is, you know, did Dylan think through, okay, which one of your talented teammates would you have liked to see leave? Because you're not going to get an impact player for, you know, the Wings as scrap heap. So, you know, it does take a good player to go out in a trade in order to get something good back. So, you know, so there it got, you know, there was kind of some frostiness there. And then I think just overall, you know, one of the reasons fans have turned on Steve is his free agent signings have disappointed. I mean, Andrew Kopp, J.T. Comfer, you know, neither one of them have played to the expectations. And they both got big 5-year deals. And he just hasn't done in free agency what fans were hoping to see, or, you know, make the trade for Quinn Hughes, even though he wasn't willing to commit to an extension. You know, just be bolder. So I think, you know, Dylan has just also looked at the situation and said, well, what's going to change? You know, I mean, there's hardly any free agents around anymore, right? They get snapped up, traded, or re-signed before free agency even begins.
Do you agree with Dylan's stance that he's got to move to win somewhere? Or do you go, as you said, they were first in the division for up until the end of January. Do you look at it and go, why not stick it out? You have 5 years left, and it looks like even the crop of players coming up, like Emmett Finney and those types of players, there might be some bright future here in Detroit.
Yeah, you know, it's, again, I go back to the free agent market. It's really, really tough to improve that way in trades. Now, you know, they are in position now where they used a first-round pick to acquire Justin Falk at the trade deadline, and I think that was a really good addition. I mean, he really strengthened their defense core, so... you know, it's just Dylan may just have grown tired of, you know, hearing that we're improving. There's a plan. And, You know, I think this year just had to be so crushing that, you know, as good a position they were in. But, you know, honestly, I blame – there's a lot of players that just wilt season after season when March comes around. And I know it's a great frustration of Todd McClellan. He's been very open about it. Then, you know, there were some empty jerseys out there tonight. Like, you know, it's part – I mean, the players have a responsibility, too, to, you know, live up to – to their contracts, to their expectations, right? So I think that's just kind of where the situation is at.
Does this make Yzerman's seat a little hotter?
Well, that's the question for the ages, right? Can we ever envision a headline that says Ilitch's fire Steve Yzerman? It's a 44-decade-plus relationship. I mean, he came to the city and revived the franchise. You know, but now it's 7 years under him without playoffs, and the team doesn't look in great direction. It doesn't look, you know, as good as maybe Buffalo or Montreal. I will also just say this, you know, the Wings have been just terribly, terribly unlucky in the draft lottery. If they had had, you know, the luck of bringing in a Celebrini or a Schaefer, this would be a very, very different situation. Mm-hmm. But they've been pushed back or stood pat every year. And, you know, even in when the season ended early in 2020, they were the worst team by like a million points in the league. And yet they picked fourth. You know, how is that? That, I mean, that's why the league changed the lottery, made some changes. It's just like, you know, how is that fair? I mean, that they were genuinely, I watched all of their 71 games. They were every bit as bad. They weren't tanking. They were that bad, you know? So. There's been some bad luck for them as well in the draft lottery, for sure, that has played into this. And that's, you know, beyond Steve's control.
It's going to be another interesting summer, apparently. Maybe a little bit more interesting than you thought at the end of the year.
Absolutely. I thought I'd have there was no threat of any coaching change this summer. Most of the big guys I signed, I thought, great, you know, I'll go on a 3-month cruise around the world and instead, no.
Not so lucky.
Not so lucky.
Helene St. James, longtime reporter for the Detroit Free Press, covering the Red Wings as Dylan Larkin wants out. Like, I looked at that list. She reported on it, and Helene did. We sat in the meeting, literally in the meeting today. Scott walks in. Have you seen the three team names? Larkin and I both said no. It's like, you want to, let's guess. I bet you're not going to take us long.
Play a fun game.
I said Vegas, Tampa, Florida.
I went Vegas, mini Edmonton.
So out of those, what, five teams we put together? Three, yeah, we got the three teams. So can players get a little more creative with where they want to go in the National Hockey League? Because Florida and Vegas are getting boring.
How can you not cheer for the Hurricanes this year?
I am.
You know what I mean? Like, I realize there's
They're
Vegas fans.
They're the old Hartford Whalers. Like, let's go.
I realize there's Vegas fans out
there. I hope
there.
They take the trophy to Hartford.
You've been misguided. It's not your fault. But you can't not deny the fact that a Hurricanes win would be sweet on so many levels.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Milt Stegall coming up at 4:05 to take a look back at week one in the CFL and what his expectations are for the Rough Riders this season. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, a good Monday afternoon, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We cracked open the show today. There was already a text from an Oiler fan.
That got out quick, eh?
Gust. That Mike Babcock. You should read Oilers' Twitter right now. From broadcasters, writers, to fans. No, they do not want Mike Babcock as the new head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. However, Elliot Friedman continues to report on this. It was Darren Dreger out first with the story. But now Friedman's reporting that he's hearing that the core group doesn't mind the idea. that yeah. they, after yeah. the season, have come to an agreement. They need a firmer hand as a coach to keep them accountable.
We pander. Like,
yeah, they hit their 30s. Dreisaitl and McDavid, they're hitting their 30s going, oh, not boys anymore. Yeah. We're men now.
I don't know what it is. We put deal these. With it. I mean, listen, they're good at hockey, right? We all hate our bosses. That's what this is. Like, everyone hates their boss.
Hold on a sec. Don't lump me into that.
So you're angry at authority. That's what this is.
Not everybody.
It's a bit of a
trope. How do you know I wish I wasn't with Murray on a fishing trip right now?
I've been here long enough to know that you don't like fishing.
I don't hate fishing. I'd rather be golfing. If you gave me the option, I'd rather spend 4 hours golfing than 4 hours fishing. If it was a golf trip, oh, I am there with bells on.
We treat all these kids with kid gloves.
Yeah. 2026, Locker.
The time. Oh, drives me nuts.
NBA final game 3 goes tonight.
Never hurt anybody.
It's locked down around Madison Square Garden because Trump wants to go to the game tonight. So people are already lining up to get into the stadium because it's been requested 2 hours before tip-off, like an airport. To get through security to get into the game tonight. And no watch party outside at MSG either. They're moving those to different boroughs
That's
around
rankling some
New
feathers.
York. Yeah, absolutely. No NHL game tonight, another day off. No Freddie Anderson in net today at practice for the Carolina Hurricanes. How did week one go in the CFL? I thought it went well. What did Milt Stegall think? We'll find out next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.